When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Meanwhile, in New Jersey.
So, Marissa, what talking points do you want to hit on in this week's episode?
Well, Jackie, let's talk about how the film addresses the patriarchy. Ooh, and representation of marginalized people. Ooh, and even philosophical ramifications of good versus evil in horror.
We can point out the triangle boobs, talk about the blood splatter, and, the practical effects. And also the male gaze?
My gaze at the males.
Hi-yo! From feminism to fangirling, the Jersey Ghouls cover all the bases of horror from a woman's perspective.
New episodes are uploaded every other Sunday.
Just search Jersey Ghouls to find us on social media and your favorite podcasting app.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Napping Through Happy Hour podcast, where we talk real life, real drama, in real time. I'm Katie.
I'm Marie. Hello.
Hello. Today we have a very special guest. He is an actor that you could see on Grimm, you could see him on The Librarians, you could see him on a whole bunch of DOTT, D-O-T-T, Department of the Time people. A lot of
just like the abbreviation.
I looked it up beforehand. He's also a podcast host for the Review podcast that I'm on every now and then. Please, everyone, welcome Paul Root.
Oh, yay. Thank you. Thank you so much. I like mentioning like my acting credits from like a decade ago, because it's one of those things where it's like, I did it. I did that.
You did do that. You did.
Don't you forget, society.
But we were talking, last night, and you are looking to get back into the acting game. You've taken a brief hiatus.
Honestly, I feel like it's been, like, since 2020, but, like, what is time anymore? So, I just kind of walked away from that, focused on writing for a while, and then just away from the industry for a while. And over the last 2-3 months or so, I'd say I've kind of like fallen back into it a little bit again, partially by like some weird happenstance, but it's been good. I think I assume you're both creatives. I assume Marie, you're creative as well, or am I making an ass of myself by assuming?
I'm a sort of creative, same way, but I do creative things. Yes,
Marie is hysterical and a great event producer / should be a comedian, and I keep trying to make her go that route.
Okay. But, well, I'm here to help you make the push.
Track. Yeah.
Okay, good. But it's one of those things, like, it's filling my cup, and I didn't expect that to happen so quickly, especially through like work that's mostly independent.
Like what?
Very long story short, reread a book, posted about it on Instagram, and had a former agent reach out to me and was like, want to like be in the movie? They're working on the movie. And was like, reread the book, write your own sides, blah, 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 blah. And that was really the thing that kind of like sparked the like, oh, fuck, I still love this, huh? God damn it.
Yeah, that's definitely part of it. Marie, do you have any like connection with that kind of feeling?
Well, you know,
I like Marie. I'll say that.
She's honest. That's what I love about her.
Well, I don't know if I have, honestly, filling my cup right now is just getting the fuck out of bed in San Francisco and not Oakland. That is what's filling
my cup. Yes.
I just moved, so I'm just like, that's maybe I'm probably not answering the question correctly, but
no, you're fine.
No,
you're
totally fine. How long were you in Oakland? Did you move just because you were kind of done with the area, as apparently a bunch of the sports franchises are, or were you just at work? What happened?
Well, for the past 7 months, my life has been quite the shit show. Started with, I lived in San Francisco, and then our house set on fire. So we had like 2-3 weeks to find a new place. The only place we could find was in Oakland, which is where we, like, it was like, it's funny, you know, we had talked so many times about how we're going to move and we're not moving to Oakland. And that was like the only place we could find. And we lasted 6 months. I hated it. There are many reasons why,
other than the fact that she didn't like it, but her car got stolen and her dog died.
Oh, no.
And,
yeah, Oakland?
Yeah. Oakland is the Wild West, is what I like to say. Like, okay. They're doing whatever the hell they want to do out there. And I was tired of being paranoid. And I am like a scaredy cat. I am this big black woman who's scared of mice. You know what I mean? Like, I probably am the scariest thing. What I'm saying is, like, I'm probably the scariest thing on the street for a lot of people, like, when they see me coming. And to know that I'm the one who's scared.
You're 10 times more frightened.
Yeah. So I was done. I'd lived in Oakland before years ago when it was a lot different. But right now, you have to watch your back all the time. I mean, every day there's a new way they're learning how to rob you. They're inventive too.
Necessity is the mother of invention, right?
Exactly. Hey, if they wanted my bag, they were going to figure out a way to get it. Like, they were, I don't know if you've seen, they're smashing in car windows at stoplights now, reaching in. Whoa. And getting it. Yeah.
Wow. That's bold. That's very bold.
Yeah. So I'm out.
Okay. Where are you at in San Francisco? Like, what neighborhood?
I'm like 2 blocks from Golden Gate Park.
Okay.
Yeah, it's one of the safest neighborhoods in San Francisco. And I know San Francisco is also, like, kind of crazy right now. But, you know, I keep telling everybody it's better the devil you know. I'm more comfortable here. I don't feel like crazy walking around with a backpack on. Like, people are more likely to, like, rob the stores, if that makes sense. They'll not even rob them. Yeah. They'll just see I don't know if you've seen the videos of, like, 20 people running in, stealing everything, and then running
out. Oh, yeah, it's like a crime flash mob. It's a flash mob of crime. Yeah, I've totally seen it. Oh, my gosh.
So we get Black Friday
together. Yeah.
It's funny because I just saw this video on this, like, woman who's, like, their kingpin, who she got together a group of little girls to steal from Sephora's and Ulta's and things like that. Yeah, so it's like...
It's like 50-year-old white lady.
Yes!
Exactly. Oh my god, this is legitimately Marm Mandelbaum. There was a woman in history in New York who created a school for thieves because there was, like, a big banking crash in the 1850s, and all the kids, like, were kind of destitute because all their parents were out of jobs, and so she started...
Or they just gave us up. Like, because they don't want us anymore.
Right. But yeah. That too. And then she started taking all these kids in, and then she would sell, like, random knickknacks just normally. And then she would have these kids steal from the ultra rich, and then she would sell it at like a very reasonable price to the medium wealthy. And then, like, that's how she created an entire school of thieves. So who's this woman?
It's almost the same thing. She just sells it, like, below, like, really good market makeup value. Below retail. And, like,
but she
I don't,
like,
know.
She was, like, bullying and threatening these, like, kids and stuff or like, their parents and shit, like, over, like, electronic mails and things. But it's, like, it's interesting. Like, I guess, like, this is a shelter business in the automotive world now, is muffler places or whatnot will hire people to go steal people's catalytic converters and then essentially, like, sell them back to them.
Shut.
The world is a crazy place. This is a video podcast, so people will be able to see you. Both be like, what? Over that? That's, you both Kevin McAllistered me.
Tournament converters are so expensive, too. I know. That breaks my heart.
It's so sad.
If you're at the point where you need your catalytic converter, like you probably it's your last dive. Like you just like you're just like, take it out alone.
Leave my 96 Civic alone. I'm doing at least as poorly as you are. Stop the insanity. Katie, how are you? As we play golf.
What's filling your cup, Katie?
I wasn't even trying to get us on like a subject. We can talk about our sponsor for my podcast last night and how that fills our cup.
Let's do it. No, for some reason, every time I go on Paul's podcast, I talk about penises a lot. And I gotta say, that does fill my cup in certain ways.
Katie is one of the few people who I genuinely embarrass when they say penis. For
Are you embarrassed a lot? Are you embarrassed for her all the time?
No, it's just when she talks about penis, I'm like, oh yeah, you're a sexual creature too. And
what?
You
I get it. I get it. I legitimately
desires.
Yeah. I totally get it. And so many
have a vagina.
Good news for everybody. Anatomically, I am a Ken doll.
It's all smooth.
That fits awesome. Really nicely into my brain. Nice and neutral.
like uncomfortably glossy. He's got nothing down there. He's just waxing it all the time.
But it is like a Mr. Potato Head situation where you can things.
Yes. There's a funny mustache. Better than funny than this one.
Yeah, how long have you been trying to grow that mustache?
Oh no. I was on the border of is that the border of a beard?
No, I don't know.
Probably not. It's such a dirt stash, it's really bad. But yeah, I had like a 9 o'clock shadow and had to let that go. And I have a stash that comes and goes. It's almost like infamous for it. So I think it's gonna come.
All right.
Just in time. Fill everybody's cup.
Filling cups today. Except for me.
This is gonna be I'm not gonna even call it napping with Paul Root. It's just gonna be filling your cup with Paul Root.
There you go. No.
Oh no.
I like
it. Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
So this is something too. Has anybody watched or heard about this documentary series from ID Discovery and HBO Max, the one with like Drake Bell and a bunch of other folks that abused on Nickelodeon, like Dark Past Schneider? Or something. Yeah, Schneider. Dan Schneider. I've been watching that for a few episodes and like woofty woofta. Some of it is a little bit like, okay, but like some of it is like, whoa. Like it's very, very, very heavy.
What is it? Well, okay, sorry. Go ahead, Katie. What?
No, I have no idea. I have no context for this. What is it? What's it about?
It was abusing kids, from what I understand, right? Like, I don't
know. You're right. I was going to let you know.
It was inappropriate, because I've only seen bits and pieces, but like, who is it? Drake from Drake and Josh, or is it Josh and Drake?
Oh, yeah.
And then, Drake.
And then, like, all of that characters and things like that, just like, and then I've seen like clips where it's like all of a sudden you rewatch them and you're like, oh, that was inappropriate for a kid like to be doing that, like with like things spraying on Jamie Lynn Spears' face, like in a very sexual way. Yeah,
I did see one clip on TikTok that where it was like one of them talking about like some like acting coach or something. They went to his house and then he turned out to have like all this like Nazi stuff. Or John Wayne Gacy's like self portrait. What the fuck?
They were like pen pals while Gacy was in prison.
That's disgustingly nuts.
It's insane.
What?
I don't know why. I don't know. It's like, hey, everybody sharing my trauma because I decided to watch this. So now you have to join in.
I understand. I love sharing
trauma. Apparently was my strategy.
I'm glad I actually have some context.
No, it's like this guy named Brian Peck was the guy who was, you know, the convicted guilty party and associated with like Brian Singer and Kevin Spacey and like people that were in that circle. And like they don't get into those names necessarily, but like Brian Peck like kind of feels like a fall guy or to a degree. Like it's like he's
one that they can talk
guilty,
about.
But yeah, he's guilty of sin for sure, but it seems like some you know, he was thrown in front of a bus to, you know, help others. Fun podcast.
Yeah, wow. I feel like this happened once before when we were talking about something like similar. It's just like, oh yeah, this is our life too. Like, not our life. I mean,
thank God, no, yeah,
not all of this.
I will say, like, that's one of the things that I'm glad I was never a child star, because it just, I've never heard a child star that like did okay. Like, unlike though Haley Joel Osment, who we were talking about last night while we were reviewing Secondhand Lions, I haven't heard a peep out of him of like any terrible, like, yeah, and it turns out that the director was like a straight up dominatrix or something.
I talked about this with some other folks not too long ago, and the only other two people I could think of, the one like real exception of like from A to Z, like there's never been a stop in momentum. It's always just been like up, was Leo. And then Josh Brolin and Jason Bateman. I mean, Brolin, I think, worked pretty consistently throughout on stuff, but like Jason Bateman, I think, was more like Haley Joel Osment, where there was like this like pullback for like
a good time,
clump of time, for whatever the reasoning.
Yeah. Well, and then maybe Freddie Highmore Finding Neverland and now The Good Doctor.
Right. Okay.
Well, I will say the thing with Leo is now he just dates young girls.
There is.
So the momentum of his career kept going through his points, but his preferences in dating did not.
When you don't have the creepy around you, you then become the creepy.
Yeah, the creep.
I am what I was bound to fight.
Oh, sorry. I just like, but he.
You're not wrong.
Oh, man.
I have a Leo story, actually, and nobody believes me when I tell them this. But when I was 18 and going to UCLA, we used to like get drunk and like walk around Westwood, which is like the little area right around UCLA. Well,
this is after you graduated because you were drinking.
I was only 8. Oh yes, I was legal.
He really tried to save you on that one. I love that.
In case any friends, family members, you know, potential employers, whatever.
Yeah, I was drinking holy water. Holy water. Yeah.
Cleanliness is next to godliness.
I was hydrating all night.
And so hydrating in wine.
Okay.
Well, so I was hydrating, and with my friends and I decided to take a walk around, and we actually saw Leo with the weird kid from American Pie, the tall redhead with the teeth. He's not
the Shermanator.
Is it the Shermanator? Might be the Shermanator.
Did he have braces in the first movie?
I think so. Sherman.
And a small, and like a smaller role?
Yes, him. Shermanator. Yeah. Chuck Sherman.
Yes. Okay.
Saw him with Leo Darwin. And I swear, and nobody ever believes me, but we started like chasing him. And he says, I'm the king of the world.
Started chasing him. I believe you.
He like ran off. He said, "I'm the king of the world," and we got even more freaked out. And we're like, "Where is he?"
That seems like somebody. Do you know what year this was about?
Do I have to say? Like, this is 1999.
That seems like something somebody around that age that made Titanic would say.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. Because it was him. It was him.
Like somebody at that age.
I believe it.
Like, I buy it. Yeah. I buy it.
Yeah. But yeah. Oh,
that's awesome, though.
Like, yeah.
You know,
I mean, that makes sense. With the Sherminator, like, too. Like, I have so many. Like, how they connect.
They're probably working on something or talking or just literally hanging out.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
You know, not too long after that, and by that I mean several years later, I ran into not only the esteemed Pat Boone at the Westwood Best Buy by UCLA, but also the aforementioned Josh Brolin.
Hey. Wow.
And he was lovely. This was before his, like, I think, like, what was the big, like, resurgence for him? No Country?
I would say that would be it.
Something around there. But, I mean,
it was before all of the superhero stuff.
I had just qualified for my AARP. So it was probably.
Congrats.
Probably before No Country. But it's like, I'm such a Goonies fucking weirdo. Like.
When did you see it the first time?
Goonies? Oh boy. I have no clue, to be honest.
Yeah.
Has everybody seen Goonies? Is everybody is like, yeah, Goonies is the shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Goonies used to, there was a time like where I went, a phase where it used to scare me.
Was it Chunk or was it?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to be problematic. His character scared me. And so I didn't like the whole damn movie.
You know, the Fratellis are pretty mean. And I think, Katie, yeah. I know you and I have talked about this like briefly. I think we can probably all agree movies that were PG or
so
family
different.
Movies in like the 80s and like early 90s. No fucking way now. No fucking way.
Oh, no. Yeah. I mean, the cussing alone.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
I remember I didn't see the Goonies until I was much older, and I finally like either rented it or something, and I watched it. I was like, holy shit, how do they get away with this?
I gotta ask you, Katie, as you know, you started branching out into movies later in life.
I did, yeah.
More so. What was the movie that you watched that you were like, I love this shit? Like, movies are fucking great. Like, and it became like part of your, I don't want to say makeup because it's not part of your makeup or personality, but it's part of your passionage.
My passionage.
Passionage.
There was a couple, like the first time I like truly started thinking I really want to do this acting thing. Cause I was doing plays and stuff when I was a kid. Cause I just had a lot of energy. But when I saw Charlie's Angels, the Drew Barrymore remake, I was like, oh, that's so cool.
Oh, man.
And another reason why I understand why people think I'm either asexual or lesbian, but I it was a constant
speaking
thing.
Marie for Marie specifically, at least.
Marie, but also, like, we talked to one of my old college friends, and, like, they were like, yeah, we all thought you were gay just because you're so supportive.
I mean, really nice, so we assume you're gay.
I mean, honestly, that was a lot.
That's usually how it works.
Yeah. Wow. No, but the waitress is really into you, bro. It's not just her job to be nice. She's really into you.
That stripper really wants to go home with you.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying to all my friends.
She doesn't do all her lap dances for 20. Okay, I'm done. Sorry.
But it was like Charlie's Angels was like the solidifier, but like it was Ever After was like one of those movies that I was just like, wait, like you could be cool and do movies. And so I started writing like fan mail to Drew Barrymore. And
yeah, you got a big Drew Barrymore thing.
I did when I was younger. It's not as much anymore.
She's so fucking charming, man. Especially in the 80s and 90s. She's so charming.
Oh, 100%. You know, until she pulled that shitty move during the strikes
with her talk show. Yeah.
But apart from that, like, that was a big gaffe that I was like, oh, well, that's a bummer. I don't know, whoever her rep were, whoever was in charge of, like, her fan mail would send me Samuel French packages of like, hey, maybe check out this play, or like, here's a signed headshot from Drew, which I think I got like three of those or something like that. And I was like, oh, I think I want to do this. But the true one that like really solidified it was when I watched the Lord of the Rings DVD specials behind the scenes. And I was like, literally any part of this, I want to be in it. I want to either be like making the props, like checking out the makeup, like being in that crazy special effects makeup, or like the way they talked about the Battle of Helm's Deep and how long it took them and how everyone got like shirts that was like, I survived the Battle of Helm's Deep. I was like, that is like a brotherhood type of thing that I am so here for. And then it grew into comedy and like wanting to be a part of comedy and stuff. So yeah, that's kind of how I got into it.
I love that Lord of the Rings was it, because that movie was definitely formative for me. And like, I think we talked about it. It was like one of my dad's favorite authors. And so
yeah,
that movie is like still to this day, like we watch it every Christmas. We watch all three versions. Oh, yeah. We have to watch extended versions, not just the regular versions. Then we watch all the behind the scenes. Like it was what we did. And I could see, because I've watched a lot of those behind the scenes, like how that would enrapture someone if you were going to be convinced to be a part of film and television. I could see how Lord of the Rings would be it'd be very convincing.
I
the extended editions are the only ones in my opinion.
Fair.
But like, you know, there are a few movies out there in the world I feel that really throughout give off the like, I just don't really give a fuck if you like this very much. What was Two Towers for me? Like, I felt like Peter Jackson was like, hey, my shit is dope. My nuts are huge. This movie is the shit. You imagine the book exactly like this. And if you don't like it, go fuck yourself and relax, because my shit is the best. Like that. And I like movies that like, just like, don't really have much of an interest in being liked or endearing to you. And ooh, like Two Towers is my favorite just because it's like kind of a gut punch. It's a great movie.
Yeah. I'm
sorry. Sorry, my dog is.
Don't say sorry. Hi, dog.
Can you sit right here? Right here. No.
Hi, Charlie.
He likes to do stuff as soon as I start podcasting. Like,
is it every time? Okay. Sure, is it Charles and then Charlie for short, and is Chuck okay, or does he not like that? He or she,
I
sorry,
call him Demon, really.
Frederick really... Frederick Charles Krueger. The Demon,
we say Charles sometimes, but Charles is like when we're mad, and then it's mostly Charles,
or when he's in charge. Yeah,
or Char. Yeah. Char is a big one. Yeah,
oh my gosh! Like
Char.
I once sang the Charles in Charge theme song to somebody who I met for the first time, and then I was just like,
"That's usually
is that appropriate?"
His like, name was Charles.
His name was Charles, yes, for sure. And so I was just good.
Well, why not?
You're halfway there.
Yeah.
Was this like a date or like a casual meeting?
No.
What was this?
This was actually,
if it was a date, it would have been wonderful. No.
That does sound like me on a date. It is amazing that I'm married, you guys. But no, it was this really random gig that I did that Marie and I... we were doing the podcast during the time. It was the Baccarat thing where I was doing color commentary hosting for online Baccarat.
The fuck?
Dude, trust me, the amount of jobs that I have done just to like keep in the game has been so stupid. No, this was this like,
it's
I caught on. Yeah, no, I mean, like, I can't wait to ask about like the random jobs that you have. But like, this is like a random thing that I found on LinkedIn. They were looking for hosts for digital hosting, which is all I did in the pandemic, was hosting like digital games and things like that, or doing, you know, tech shit. And so I auditioned, I passed their like learning the game of Baccarat test. And yeah, it was a whole thing. And then I was going into rehearsals for this launch where they would be, they essentially controlled the cards that like were dealt out to the players, and the players were real people just sort of in like a Zoom window, like chatting with each other. And then I had to do
color hilarious backgrounds.
Yeah. I mean, I try at one point I tried to commentate on their backgrounds or like their setup or like the things in, and then I was, as I told Marie and many other people, that they told me that that commentary was trash. And I was like, okay.
Wow.
Interesting note that you just gave me. I was like, can you tell me what it is I'm supposed to commentate on? Because they're not actually making plays. The only thing that they are doing is betting with fake money. And we weren't supposed to talk about the betting.
Okay. Meanwhile, in New Jersey.
So, Marissa, what talking points do you want to hit on in this week's episode?
Well, Jackie, let's talk about how the film addresses the patriarchy. Ooh, and representation of marginalized people. Ooh, ooh, and even philosophical ramifications of good versus evil in horror.
We can point out the triangle boobs, talk about the blood splatter, and, oh, the practical effects. And also the male gaze.
My gaze at the males.
Hi-yo! From feminism to fangirling, the Jersey Ghouls cover all the bases of horror from a woman's perspective.
New episodes are uploaded every other Sunday.
Just search Jersey Ghouls to find us on social media and your favorite podcasting app.
Yeah, so I was like, so what exactly is it that I'm commentating on? And they're like, we don't know. I was like, okay.
Can I get some notes? No, you're doing a bad job.
Yeah, no, you're doing a bad job. They said that I was trash like 4 or 5 times, and I was like, okay, so clearly that's not something that I can work off of. That's not, you know, manageable, repeatable actions. So do you have anything else other than that I am trash? And they said no. And I was like, all right, I'm out. And I'm not,
bye-bye.
And I'm not going to lie, I got a call from EDD this last week asking me about all of this stuff. And I was like, yeah, I'll talk about everything. What are you curious about?
I would. Okay. One thing real quick, as we were talking about weird jobs that we've had through life and whatever. I worked at a shipping and receiving place called the Mailroom, and we would constantly get like prank phone calls like, yeah, who's performing on stage tonight at 6 p.m.? And it's like, not that Mailroom. God damn it. Like, that got very old very fast. But also, Baccarat and commentary and whatever. If somebody came to me with that, I would just be like, okay, I've seen Casino Royale with Daniel Craig many times. And I would just constantly be like, set de la bon. Bon. Gentlemen, bank to bet you. I have seen every James Bond movie, as well as the unofficial James Bond movies, read the books, and watched people play it, and I don't have a fucking single clue how to play that fucking game.
It's the dumbest game. It's basically like
black game.
Yeah, it's like blackjack, but with different numbers, and then some numbers are unlucky.
Because I feel like it.
Well, I mean, and it's huge in like the Asian market. So they were trying to market it towards the Asian market. So I would have had to have been performing at like 3 o'clock in the morning. These long ass things with the note of constantly being called trash.
After the market's closed in Shanghai and everybody's fired up and ready to go play some Baccarat. Yeah. Get ripped up and play some Baccarat. Is anybody else? Oh, go ahead.
It's funny because I have a friend who's still doing it, or at least last I had checked in with him, he's still doing it. And I was like, how is that going?
Last he was seen, he was still doing it.
And honestly, there was a little bit of like a concern there, because like there were like a lot of investors that we heard about but never saw. Like there was like most of their people were funding them through like China and Indonesia and like all this other stuff. And so I was like, I'm not shocked at all that EDD called me.
I feel like you're straight up trying to tell me that there was foul play involved in this operation.
I'm like, yeah, let me tell you exactly what I have on the table. I will sing like a songbird. I do not care.
No problem.
My benefits a little bit.
Bump my benefits. Make me go longer, please. Maybe return some money to me. It was so funny because the EDD person was like very transparent. She's like, yeah, we've been having a lot of complaints about these people. And I was like, interesting. Oh, wow. So glad I got out when I could. But yeah, that's that story. Okay. Crazy jobs that you've had for survival. Marie, you've got a couple, at least right now.
Jeez. For a long time, but a year of my life, I worked at Chuck E. Cheese when I was young. And
Charles Entertainment Cheeses.
Yes.
That's who you named your dog after.
Yes. That crazy rat in the hat, as we like to say. And sometimes I was Chucky, and I got beat up all the time by children.
In the suit? Evil.
Oh, yeah.
They're evil.
Yeah.
They're all Bart Simpson, all of them.
Real talk. They're Bebe's kids, and I don't know if you all
know. I love that movie. Way back. Yeah. Cartoon movie from the early 90s. What is that comedian's name again?
Who did Bebe's Kids?
Robin. I forget his name. That movie's fucking great. Yeah. Watch Bebe's Kids, audience.
Yes, it's we don't die, we multiply is what they that's their catchphrase. That's how I felt at Chuck E. Cheese. I got my revenge once, poor kid, but he was doing too much. And he was like kicking me, and then all of a sudden his mom said, "Take a picture with Chucky." So I had to hold his hand, and I took his little hand and I squeezed it, and all of a sudden you hear him go, "Ow, Chucky!"
Okay. So sorry, I had to look it up. Robin Harris.
Robin Harris
is the comedian that did Bebe's Kids. Faison Love's in it, and so a lot of other folks: Marcus Houston, Tone Loke, all sorts of people. Right. John Witherspoon, but it was Robin Harris was the main was. Yeah, the main. Weird jobs, yeah? I mean, it's hard to beat performing as Charles Entertainment Cheese and, like, absorbing many assaults from minors and apparently doling them out. For a day, I was a Shabbos goy.
What? So
a non-Jewish.
Sure.
Guy who can come in and turn the
I'll
get there, but like turning the oven on and off, like, you know, picking up the phone, like somebody to essentially like buttle
on
a Saturday, and then, you know, I was handsomely compensated for that day. But I would say like that was probably the weirdest.
Okay,
that's probably like, that's how a weird job, right? Not a lot of people. A friend did it normally that was out of town that was like, "Can you help me out? I'm in a spot." I'm like, he's like, "You're trustworthy, right?" I'm like, "Not at all, but I'll do it." And so... Is that good enough?
But yeah, sure, let me do these people's
homes. No, but I am available. And availability is the best ability.
One of my friends lives down in like Miracle Mile area, and like she was walking one Friday just to like go meet a friend at a bar, and had a family during Shabbos like ask her to come in and turn their stuff off because they couldn't deal with it. And I was like, oh, that's really sweet, and wow, that's got to be really difficult to deal with. But I didn't know you could get paid to do this.
Oh, that happened to me, like, to your friend. That happened to me in New York once. And that was what ended up, like, I was like, I didn't know what was going on, and had explained it to a couple different people and explained it to a friend. And he told me what that probably was. And then months later was like, "Oh, dude, I'm in a spot. Can you help me out? You'll make money." And I was like, shit, great.
How much money did you make doing that? If you don't mind.
It was $300 for the day.
Yes.
Is what he charged. And then they normally tipped $50 to $100 depending. And so I walked out with $400 for being there for essentially being there for 2 hours and having to be in another room or occupy myself, without electronics around people, et cetera, et cetera. But, and then just essentially coming back by a few hours later and checking in again. Pretty simple.
Wow.
Yeah. It's one of those things where it's I wonder how people can sustain in New York or whatever.
I mean, do the kindness.
Probably one of those side hustles, I guess, right? Yeah.
Shit, $400 just to turn off a stove.
It can be as simple as that on occasion. Yeah. By the way, it's my cat. It's my cat. It's McGaggy's birthday. It's Maggie's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
She's
kitty.
Is she 11 today? Is she 12? Nobody knows.
She's in a box.
Real pissed.
Oh, look at you. Sure. You're a sweet baby.
Why bother me?
Oh, there's another one. Loser.
He can never let her be the star. Never ever. Just fucking mind your business for a minute, guy.
He's just lying. Because every time I take a camera out. Yeah.
As somebody who's a lot, he's a lot. Yeah. Come here, sweet boy. Sorry.
What's the ginger one's name?
But my baby's Binks with an X.
Oh, like the cat from Hocus Pocus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
That's what the shelter said anyways, yes.
Gotcha.
I don't want to rename. It's we adopted Maggie when she was 8. And so it was a thing where it was just was able to teach her to sit, but that's really the only thing. She's her name was set. She's not going to come. She's not going to lay. She's and she'll only sit for treats.
That's the same with our
that matters really is the treats.
She's smart. She's not a dumbass.
Yeah.
Not for nothing, thank you.
Why would I come for everything else?
Exactly. Marie, does Cheddar ever do treats, tricks for treats?
No, but that's more because I haven't taught her to do anything. She's young enough where she could still learn a couple things. And she just started taking treats from my hand because she wouldn't for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I switched to I do venison and lamb treats, and she like freeze dried ones.
Okay.
And she'll take those from my hand. So I was thinking about trying to teach her at least to stop drinking out of my toilet.
Sure.
But the filth is so delicious. Don't you know? Katie did a full... Did you just do a full-on Freddy Krueger in the corner of my eye? I'm pretty sure you did.
It was batting the,
grossed out Freddy Krueger. Okay.
For some reason, that's the noise I make when I'm grossed out. I don't know why, but I'm just like... Blah, blah. And I did that when I was diagnosed, when I busted my ACL, and the doctor was explaining to me and showing me my X-rays. I was just like, "Well,
oh sure."
And he's like, "It's your leg." And I was like, "Yeah, that's gross."
No, that makes it worse. Actually,
it really does.
Question: Are there things that are off limits here?
No.
To talk about. No, so these fucking hemorrhoids, man. No.
Okay.
So, I know, though. I do know.
Does anybody know exactly what's going on with this potential TikTok ban thing? And does anybody else have any concerns about it for any reasons?
I think they're going to... I think that TikTok should call their bluff.
Yeah.
Okay.
I really think they should call their bluff because I think right now things are so tense. There's so much politically that the pressure from all these people losing TikToks, because companies, corporations, yeah, would also lose a huge advertising platform. And I think that will be, there'll probably be a lot of pushback from large companies who rely on TikTok for advertising, because that's how all the kids are spending their money nowadays, is through TikTok. Time. Yeah.
Good point. Katie, your thoughts, as we're here on Napping with Happy Hour, where you come for your edgy political news.
It's true. It's
political
true.
Commentary. Hardball.
You know, I remember, like, when we first started hearing that, like, they were trying to ban TikTok, I was like, you're not going to ban TikTok. I feel like they had that for Twitter at some point. I don't think it's ultimately all that serious.
It ended up so much worse.
Yeah. Oh, so much worse. Well, and that's the thing. If you really want TikTok to go away, just have Elon Musk buy it. Like,
no shit. Yeah. Tank it so he can bankrupt it and write it off. Yeah.
Ugh, seriously. Yeah. Even though I'm back on back on Twitter, because, like, I did Threads for a minute, but then I was just like, this is so annoying. And then, like, as soon as I deleted it, I feel like Facebook and Instagram was just like, you should check this out. It's on Threads. You should download this.
No, I just keep talking. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I didn't know this raising. What it would do. For the listener, sorry. There is some, like, there's like a raising hand thing that I didn't know existed. And Paul came in a little bit late, which is, like, normal. It's just like getting used to this platform. But came in under the name of Dipshit. So as I'm talking, I just see his image bumping up and down saying Dipshit has something to say.
Well, do you? Yes, I certainly do. I have to go now. By the way, Poochie died on the way back to his own planet. Sorry, you really were, like, finishing something. I'm so sorry.
I don't even remember. No, I don't remember. I just remember that Threads is shit, and I'm back on Twitter. That's all it is.
So how sad is this? I'm kind of liking Threads because I'm getting some traction.
Hey, that's huge.
If it works. I don't know if I'm really getting traction. It's more like, over the last, like, 4 or 5 days, like, I've had things, multiple things get, like, 20 likes or more. So I'm like, yeah, man. Yeah,
okay.
I'm making it. I don't know. That's better than I did on Twitter. I
got one day, I got like
4,000 likes, sir. And also, like, why the fuck do I care? Like, why do I care? Well, like, ultimately, like, I just want to try to have a more healthy relationship with it. Like, I mostly try not to care. There is that little thing in the back of my head that bugs me. Sorry, I wanted to get back to the subject, though, I promise. The TikTok thing that we've been talking about and what you were saying, Marie, there's, like, a part of me that, obviously we're all worried about election interference, sure, and all this other shit, and understand why it might be in better hands if the operations in America are handled by an American entity of some sort. But Biden has said, like, if the ban comes through, I will sign it. And so I hope what you're saying, Marie, is true. Oh, no, that it was like that this is a bluff, that's a bluff. Because, like, listeners, sorry if, like, we have opposing views here, but, like, you know, I don't necessarily like the idea of an octogenarian still being in charge that, like, has a lot of views and entrenched bullshit that I don't like. But also, like, man, if you were, like, that asshole that wrote in, like, Turd Ferguson in 2016 or whatever, like, now's not the time. I don't know. I just, like, I would really like it if the whole TikTok thing gets worked out, because I would hate to see if it does come down to, like, is this a bluff? Is it not? Does it get signed into law? Because then where do we go? I guess. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I get overly paranoid about these things.
Well, it's a big blow to free speech. It's really because this is how the kids are talking nowadays, and, like, we have access to things that we didn't have access to before. Like, we see things, I don't want to say real time, but almost real time. Like, people are just filming their lives, and we get to see, oh shit, this is happening somewhere. And it's brought people together. And, you know, I just think of, like, what is it, the GameStop thing. Like, those
kind of
grow. I mean, it's not the best way to bring people together, but like, social media can do that and can
absolutely
affect change. So,
yeah, and it's also terrible. And people can be manipulated through it, which is kind of is the downfall. But I think that's why we need, I like how widespread the dissemination of like different types of knowledge is. Because I learned a shit ton of random things that I never had any interest about all over the internet, and especially through TikTok, because there's just those sides of TikTok. I would like to see a little bit more of a push of like recognizing bullshit or recognizing AI or like having, I don't know, there was a time there that like Facebook was doing the like this this article or like this video mentions something and like it's not necessarily true. Like, I don't know, I don't think that solves anything. I think everyone just exits out of it, but
I don't think anything can fix how much I've been Mandela affected.
Okay.
I like the Sinbad movie and the Berenstain Bears. What, right, did Tom Hanks try to hang himself in Castaway? I don't know. No. But
was that a thing?
No, but it's
I don't know.
As you're saying, like, information hitting so quickly and so much available at our fingertips and all that stuff, like, it's like what's real and what's not.
Sure.
This is
coming from a very gullible person. Yeah, Idiocracy, 100%.
You rip that out of my brain. It's like, are we heading toward Idiocracy, Wall-E, Terminator? Like, what potential future?
Well, I mean,
yeah. But here's the thing: if we don't have things like TikTok for the people who are telling the truth,
yes,
that information will really never get out. Like, because they're cutting off so many of our means of finding the truth
and that, communication.
Like, we can only rely on each other.
I think that, yeah, I agree with what both of you are saying. Like, you hit the nail on the head, I think too, Katie, about communication, where it's like, you know, the pandemic kind of separated us to a degree, and like, things are like more individualized, or people more in their bubbles, or whatever you want to say. But and what you're saying, Marie, about like keeping people splintered, like, you know, it's like that whole thing, like power in numbers. And I do really think, like, you know, that there is a level of power in being able to control fast moving information, like the stuff that moves on TikTok. So,
well, yeah,
again, I'm always trying to bring the fun to the napping. All about fun.
No, I think that's the thing, is that maybe to your point, Paul, of like octogenarians, you know, mitigating certain things, I do think that we need to be on a faster tread of learning and a faster tread of recognizing where the bullshit is coming from. And I think that, honestly, via technology is one of our next parts of evolution before we can hit a big knowledge bang that will take us off. There's a really great YouTube series show thing. It's called, it's the hardest thing to say because it's a German word that means in a nutshell, but it's Kurzgesagt. And they do these really great explainer videos, and I used to talk about it all the time. I haven't gone back in a while, but they had this great video where it was talking about sort of the hope for the future, where it's like, if you consider at least the last 100 years and how much progress we've made, it's looking like the bell curve of progress is going to just exponentially shoot up in the next couple of years. But that's given a certain couple of sets of things allowing people to go forth and do that. And whether or not we have a planet in the next couple of 100 years or something, you know?
Well, AI is supposed to essentially hit consciousness in 2029. So you assume that that's probably,
if it hasn't already,
that's when that bell curve is going to bang. Yeah. My co-host on the Review Review, new episodes every other Thursday and everywhere you stream. But he mentioned there was like a Seinfeld like AI that was being forced to like live kind of in the world or the same episode over and over and over. And then they kind of like let it break free of the loop. And it was like, I hate this. I don't want to exist. Like, why am I here? Like, but I also like to think that if anybody's seen the movie Her, like maybe AI gets us to the point where AI goes, you know what? Maybe the best thing is that we all just go away and y'all figure it out without us. I don't know. But probably the nuclear weapons. But that, right? Probably the nuclear weapons thing.
Well, I mean, if you're a gamer by any respect, Horizon Forbidden West, the second game of the Horizon Zero Dawn series, kind of explores this idea that, like, thousands of years ago, there was a set group of people who were highfalutin scientists, and they basically leave Earth to just, like, let them rebirth themselves, and then they have an AI that they end up developing that turns evil and is, like, following them back through
classic
space.
Evil AI.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, well, then there's that too. there's that possibility where AI goes away.
Are you a gamer at all?
Oh yeah.
I game, yes.
With Charles and Cheddar, I saw your eyes, like, kind of light up a little bit when Katie was like, so this game, and you were like, excuse me, yes.
Katie's always talking about new games, and I always say I'm gonna play them, but right now I'm too obsessed with one game. But
talk about it.
Fortnite. Okay. I'm a Fortnite.
Oh, sure, that's great.
And I love it because Fortnite is a thing now. Like, a lot of people, like, young and old, are into it. So I don't feel as much shame as I did before when I first started, when, like, I was gaming with 10-year-olds all the time.
You were gaming on a Switch.
That's true too. Very true. But I've played a few things, and
okay.
Katie likes to tell me about new games, and I what I do is I take them and I save them in my Amazon shopping list. Well, eventually I'll get to them.
The unfortunate thing about the Horizon series, it's a really great game, very fun. It implements a lot of things that you actually kind of use in Fortnite Battle Royale, but it's PlayStation exclusive,
of course.
So, that's the other thing. Paul, are you a gamer?
Xbox.
A little bit. Okay. So, like, I'm normally that person that's pretty okay with being a few years behind on, like, Madden and NBA 2K updates, but I'll get those occasionally. The Resident Evil 4 update from last year ruled. I played it a couple times, like, basically back-to-back. And I also really liked RoboCop Rogue City. It's like playing Bioshock with a different skin on it, and I'm okay with that. Ooh. I like Bioshock a lot, speaking of classic games.
That's a good game, too. That's not a PlayStation exclusive, right? Bioshock? That's every platform.
Right? Bioshock was on everything, and RoboCop is definitely on everything. I have an Xbox Series X. I don't know if that should be said as some level of embarrassment. I don't know. But no, it runs my whole home theater. You can use so many apps.
Yeah. There is no judgment, because I do the Series S. And then, Marie, which one did you get?
I got the Series S as well.
Yeah, okay. It's a great tool.
I'm a 4K disc, like, nerd, and I had to have that 4K disc, like,
for the
slot.
Movies.
It's like heroin for me. I gotta jab it.
And then nod off.
Got the serotonin I needed.
Depending on the strain of the night.
Cortisol, all that stuff. Dopamine.
Yeah. Well, speaking of dopamine, what's coming up in the next week that you guys are excited about?
I start my other new job tomorrow, so I'm excited about that.
What's that job?
That's working at the LGBTQ Senior Center.
That's awesome.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, very interesting. So we'll see. Because there's a lot of places that wouldn't take them in, like, years ago. So now they have these spaces, and I think it's going to be cute.
Fun.
Just working with all the old gay people, basically. The old gays.
I feel like you're going to have a lot of stories from that, and I'm very excited
for
that.
I'm sure I will. Yeah.
I'm going to get a lot of rewriting done this week. I had a laptop die on me, and I'm a little less than halfway through reformatting, fixing a script that I've had for a million years. and got to finish two podcasts edits. Katie, I'm 50 minutes edited through ours from last night. Hey, thanks. And then I am considering, I've had a back problem for a while, and I'm considering now that I have some mobility and some free time, like, do I get back into an acting class again? Partially because I can also just look at that as like, fill my cup or whatever it is. So,
yes.
Rather than like, I need this to be something, or I want this, like me, teacher. Or and by the way, as we've gone through this whole episode, and this is words of wisdom I got many years ago from an acting teacher. His name is Scott Rogers. I'm an anxious person, as a lot of us are. And we live in a judgmental society, I think, in a lot of ways and cases. And he told me once, he was like, why are you so anxious? What's going on? What's wrong? And I kind of went over some of my shit. And he said, you're great. There's literally nothing wrong with you. You're fantastic. Spend a little bit more time worrying about what you think about other people. And if you want to spend your time and energy with them, and whether or not they're really worth it. Like, stop worrying about anything about you, because there's nothing wrong. And that was so eye-opening for me. I try to remind myself of that as much as I possibly can, because those words leave my mind sometimes. But I think that's pretty largely applicable to probably most of the people that are hearing this, etc.
Yeah. No, that's a really wonderful piece of advice. Preemptive, but wonderful. we haven't even gotten to that part yet, man.
No, not even close.
No, but like that's really lovely. And like, if you want, I've got great suggestions for acting classes that are in the area.
Yay! Okay.
Remember what part of town you're in?
I'm in NoHo.
NoHo. Okay, great. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Katie, what are you excited about in the upcoming days?
I never ask, Katie. I'm such a rude co-host.
Why would you? I didn't want to. No. I thought somebody had to. I kind of wanted to.
Well, at least, like, not a whole lot, because, you know, just the whole unemployment thing is so boring. I had a couple auditions. I hope to hear from any of them, except for one, because that was a bullshit one.
Isn't that weird how that happens?
And it's always the one I don't want to hear from.
Yeah, like, right.
We're gonna book
hey,
you.
Bud.
Yeah, 100%. Busy and it's worse than you thought. Yeah.
It pays one quarter of the amount we said.
We said, yeah, exactly. And your agent is not happy. No, there's a casting director workshop that I'm going to do on Saturday morning, which I'm very excited about, for the Julie Berger for she cast for like Night Court, the new version of Night
Court.
Oh,
cool, yeah.
Which I'm excited
about. Where is that at? Over at Ace Studios or where at?
It is not Ace Studios, though. I think Ace is like here, there, maybe everywhere. I'm not really sure what's going on with Ace. But there is another woman who's doing very similar structure of these types of things called Tracy Esposito. And if you want, I can give her your info, vice versa, or whatever.
Cool.
She has a ton of stuff every week. So sorry, Marie. Those are totally.
Oh,
like,
no. I'm used to it. Whenever there's an actor out here, I learn. I'm like, okay.
Fucking
they're,
actors,
they're talking stuff.
Don't worry, I may be one of them, but I still fucking hate them.
Yeah. Anyway, yes, I'm sorry, Marie. I know sometimes we get a little bit actory sometimes when we have actors
fucking
on.
Actors.
I don't mind. I'm fine.
Well, my friends, thank you so much for listening. Paul, you are welcome back any old time to
come
chat.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
And whatever.
Weird, but yeah. If I were you, I wouldn't, but all right.
All right, well then.
Y'all can watch me chain smoke weed again.
That's okay.
Yeah, it's funny because I used to all the time. I've just had to cut back because I got too paranoid. But I used to smoke on during most of our podcasts.
Oh, if it's true. Don't smoke, I get too paranoid.
Oh,
alternate universe.
One of these days we're gonna do a nice special about weed.
I'm in. Call me for that one for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
This was truly a pleasure. Like, thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad you invited me. I can't wait for your episode. I don't know when this is going to be out, but the episode on Secondhand Lions, on the review is already available for you. You can listen to it now.
Go listen. Go listen. Go listen to Paul. And yes, you can always find me at El Sassy Pants, but please remember, everyone, that the universe is utter chaos, so please be kind to one another. Marie, is there anywhere that people can find you, and any piece of advice that you have?
Yeah. Well, I never post there. Occasionally, I'll repost other people's stories. I'm MadMarie13 on, I believe, Instagram and TikTok. And as far as advice, so if you see burn marks on your your items after you take them out of the microwave and it smells faintly of fire, you should probably stop using that microwave.
What?
That's excellent advice. That's excellent advice.
Very good advice. Do you have to get another microwave now?
I don't know what the fuck happened, but I took my spicy noodles out and there were burn marks all over the bottom. And it smells like burning. Like, I didn't see a fire. But
you don't want to ingest those carcinogens that have been nuclearified. But also, I'm going to be remiss. I'm at Paul X Badley on Letterboxd, and you can also check us out at ReviewX2 Podcast on Instagram. I could have Ben's a vicious and violent person. So if I didn't Marie, you're smiling, but Katie knows he's a mean man.
He's not. He's the most soft-spoken person I've ever heard.
He's so nice.
He's unbelievably nice.
I gotta see for myself.
Fuck you, Ben. But yeah.
Paul, is there any advice you'd like to leave the listener with? No.
No, follow these two ladies, listen to this podcast, maybe listen to my podcast. Anything else to do with me, take a left.
All right, y'all. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Meanwhile, in New Jersey.
So, Marissa, what talking points do you want to hit on in this week's episode?
Well, Jackie, let's talk about how the film addresses the patriarchy. Ooh, and representation of marginalized people. Ooh, and even philosophical ramifications of good versus evil in horror.
We can point out the triangle boobs, talk about the blood splatter, and, the practical effects. and also the male gaze?
My gaze at the males.
Hi-yo! From feminism to fangirling, the Jersey Ghouls cover all the bases of horror from a woman's perspective.
New episodes are uploaded every other Sunday.
Just search Jersey Ghouls to find us on social media and your favorite podcasting app.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.